Welcome to Think Big for Africa podcast. On this podcast, we will bring you interesting conversations with local, national, and international African leaders from all walks of life, home and abroad. Leaders who are doing their bits to progress Africa's development. Conversation topics will range from education, science, health, leadership, politics, business, and many other global issues. Conversations about everything that concerns Africa's development. Africa has so many wonderful achievers worldwide, and this is exactly what we will bring to you on Think Big for Africa podcast. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is the Think Big for Africa podcast. My name is Ekene Banye. Today I have who I will call a rock star farmer. Yes, that's what I will call him. His name is Samson Ogbole. Samson, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Very good. Fine, thank you.
Very good. Very good. See, let's start this way. Okay. I've seen at least twice. Former president, President Olusegun Obasanjo, come to your farm, okay? And it seems he likes to bring some people to see you, okay? That's why I call you a rock star farmer, okay? You have a big fan in a very big farmer who we know, okay? And he's so interested in what you do, okay? So tell my audience a little bit about you and why our former president, a big farmer himself, is so interested in what you do.
All right. Thank you very much. So first, let me start by saying I did not study Agri in my undergraduate days.
Okay.
I studied biochemistry.
Yes.
And what that essentially means is because of my background in biochemistry, I would usually say I kind of stumbled into. So after my graduation, I was, there is this thing we call NYSC, National Youth Corps Service. I was posted to IITA to start. Now, before my youth service, since my background was in biochemistry, I've always had this nagging question from undergraduate days. Why is it that we test something in the lab? For example, I always like using tomatoes because I think a lot of people can relate with tomatoes. Now, if we look at tomatoes contain lycopene, and we are told that lycopene can help to protect against prostate cancer in men.
Okay.
But if we look at Nigeria today, or even the world at large, the level of the number of people getting prostate cancer, the number of men getting prostate cancer is on the rise.
Yes.
And for me, it's always to us, or our tomatoes are fake. Unfortunately, this was a question I could not answer while in school.
Okay.
But, during my NYSD at IITA, I got to see agriculture from a different light. Thanks to my project supervisor there, Dr. Robert Maroya, he did not just show me research, he gave me the free hand.
Mm.
And now, I say that because I am sure everybody who schooled in Nigeria understands that research in Nigeria, medicine research, university-based projects in like come back to the answer. So you are asking, can this thing do this? You already know the answer is yes, it can. So you are just walking back to ensure you come back to the answer you already knew.
Yeah.
If not, you cannot graduate.
Yeah.
And that was, when I got to IITA, that was like my biggest learning curve, which was, it was okay for us to do a research and fail.
That yes, very good.
In itself is
very good. Answer is no. That's good.
is no.
Yes.
And that was something quite different. Now, somebody might be wondering, why am I saying all of this? From that background, I understood research. I started getting answers to my questions because I had the chance to relate with local farmers. I had the chance to relate with educated farmers. And I also had the opportunity to relate with the lab.
Very good.
In relating with the lab or the experiment, I saw the ideal situation. In relating with the local farmer, I saw the knowledge gap. In relating with the educated farmer, I saw the greed gap. So,
okay.
The educated farmer knows the truth, but because of greed, they choose profit to realize that, oh, there is a huge gap I can fill. The knowledge is there. I don't need to go back to start reading all of these things.
Yeah.
Now, this is where my biochemistry now came back in. I could do agriculture from the point of view of a biochemist. Meaning, I am not just growing crops. I understand the chemistry of how plants operate. Understand the chemistry of how humans operate. Now, I now need to find the bridge between the optimal operation for plants that gives. Now, in your question, you asked why plants are interested in my farm. It is simply because of that gap that I am closing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, basically, their interest or the interest stems from the fact that I am not just growing for greed, I am growing for health. And for them, it was instructional because everybody wants to see how does a farm whose primary or sole purpose is not profit first. How do you navigate the waters to ensure that you are sustainable? Because something different from the norm. I mean, the norm is you start, you do everything you need to do, cut any corners you need to cut just to be profitable.
Yeah.
Now, you are not cutting corners as it relates to health. Instead, health is first. So, how do you keep health first and still be sustainable?
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the reason. When I say going for health, there is a misconception to assume, is that not organic farming? Or is that not just growing health? You come into the farm and there are four lettuce vegetables or four lettuce part of the farm. And I am telling you, this lettuce on this part is meant for diabetic patients. This one on this part is meant for hypertensive patients. This one is meant for children. This one is meant for athletes. Why? Because of the way they are growing. So they have as nutrients, affects what they can give to whomever consumes them. So it is not just growing for growing sake, but it is growing for a specific purpose in the health picture.
Interesting.
Don't know if that makes sense.
Wow. It's interesting. It is very interesting. It's interesting that you are using your biochemistry knowledge so extensive, you know. I didn't know that you can from the same plant you can grow them in a way that the nutrients at the end of the process will be different. You know, I never knew that was possible.
Oh, yes.
See, unlike you, I studied biochemistry, okay? But unlike you, I never, I never really liked it. That's one thing, okay? I never really liked biochemistry. I love science. I love science, okay? If I was opportuned, to choose exactly what kind of science I would have studied, most likely I would have studied psychology. Okay, But my days, like many people, our parents choose whatever we study in school, okay? And my parents wanted me to study medicine. And I ended up
with
alchemistry. That happens to a lot of people. But unlike you, you saw a leeway, a path for you to use your biochemistry knowledge. Now you are doing something very special, I would say. You know, and I want to, in my little way, to tell you thank you for doing this, because you are opening the path for more people in various areas of science to get into agriculture. See, and we in Africa need this. Okay. Now, I know you think that we can become the world's biggest producer of food. Okay. But I know there are also so many big challenges. So tell us, what are the biggest challenges that agriculture is facing in Nigeria and Africa?
So I would say in Nigeria, our biggest challenge would be vision. I know for a lot of listeners, that sounds weird when I say vision. Now, vision, because agriculture is a tool. Let me say that. Agriculture is a tool. Okay. I will give a scenario. I'm sure everybody listening to this knows what a hammer is. Sorry, I can't. My video is not that good. A hammer.
Yes.
Now, a hammer is a tool.
Yeah.
Now, if I need to screw a screwdriver and I take a hammer to do my screwdriver, at the end of the day, I will not achieve the purpose. It's not because the hammer is bad, but because I did not use the hammer as a tool for what it is meant for.
Yeah.
Or I am trying to cut down a tree and I am using a hammer to hit the tree. Mm. It will take forever before that tree will fall.
Yeah.
No, that is not a testament of the failure of the hammer, but rather a testament to the failure of the user. Now, same way, when we come to agriculture, the question is, do we know what agriculture is meant for? Now, generally speaking, agriculture is meant for three things. Number one is food security of food.
Okay.
Number two, income generation. Number three, job creation.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, you cannot use it for these three at the same time. You need to pick one of the three and run with that as a vision. It's not like, oh, now, let me put this way so it makes sense. If I pick one and I succeed so well in one, it will look as though I am doing the three, but it is only one of them that I am actually doing. But the success in that one will boomerang into looking like it's the three. So I need to ask myself, which of these three am I looking for? I will give an example. I hope people can relate to it. If we look at the U.S., top country, top in agriculture, and all of that. In the U.S., their goal for agriculture is income. Note, it is not food security. It is not job creation. It is income. That is why you would realize that, and when you look at when they turn into the 19th century, they had a lot of farmers at that point, and they were broke.
Yes.
But when they decided as a nation, we are going to use this thing for income, they started picking some crops they will focus on and crops they will not focus on. They started figuring out, okay, there is a niche for technology, because we understand that the more technologically added, now they are having things like driverless tractors. So you can have 100 hectares with just 20, 30 people managing it, because their goal was not job creation. Their vision was less money. That is why, regardless of how much cassava and some of these other hot crops that they are interested in, as a country, they will not invest in it. Instead, they will push it to the developing nations to invest in those things. Why? The process of growing requires too many people and it does not translate to money. Why is it that US, that is one of the highest consumers of cocoa, are not struggling to grow cocoa for themselves? Why are they flinging it to African countries? Because they understand that growing is not where the money is. The money is in the processing. So they are focusing on the part of the value chain where the money is. Now, I'll give another example. Let's come to Nigeria. There is, I'm sure some people will know, but IITA. In IITA, there are two of the major crops they work on is yam and cassava. And in IITA, there is a slogan, which is, if you want to feed people, grow cassava. If you want to make money, grow yam. Interpretation, there is a crop for feeding people, there is a crop for making money. Now, if my vision as a farmer is to make money and I am growing cassava, I will struggle to make money, but I will feed people. So the first question is, what is our vision as a country when it comes to agri? Do we want to feed people? Do we want to make money? Or do we want to create jobs? Because when we decide that, that would help us choose what kind of crops are we growing? What kind of technology are we pushing? What method of farming are we bringing on board? What kind of extension services are we bringing in? Because that is the foundation of every other thing. If I want to make money, there are crops I should not think of growing as a nation commercially. There are, processes I will not even be involved in. So the fundamental thing we need to answer is, what do I want to do with this thing? I'll give an example. Let's use our brother in Kenya. In Kenya, we understand that one of the major crops that they grow are flowers. And their flowers are grown strictly for exports. So you realize that the economy built around the whole flower market is, how can we reduce the number of times? It is set up for money. So when you go to a check house, it's like floriculture in Kenya, you see the way they run it is different from the way they run their potato businesses. Why? Potatoes, people in potatoes understand that we are in potatoes to feed the people. But those in flour knows we are in flour for export. So the vision is clear. The tools are different. The methodologies are different because of the vision. So where do we have an issue as a nation? What is our vision? If you call anybody in power today, ask them, what are the crops that we want to use to get this thing done? We don't know. Is it cocoa? Is it cassava? Is it spices? Is it herbs? We don't know. So you export yam, rather than exporting cassava. No, we need to know what is the vision then. Everybody now can now understand the value chain of that vision. So you can do good. Somebody else in Edo, in Benin, anywhere, any part of Nigeria can now say, okay, I know what the national vision is. This is where I will key into it. I'll give an example again using the US. Look at the meat sector. That's let's even use the poultry sector. The poultry sector in the US is governed by, I think if I'm not wrong, about 4 or 5 major companies only. Now, these 4 or 5 major companies have over 100,000 farmers under them. Now, if I go to the U.S. tomorrow and say I want to go into poultry, it is easy for me to understand the value chain. So I can ask myself, do I want to stay in the logistics? If I am staying in the logistics, I tell these 3, 4, 5 big companies. They tell me, okay, where will you be? Iowa. Okay, if you're in Iowa, this is what we need you to do for us. If you're in Texas, we are going to be taking from this farmer, bring it to this farmer. This is the capacity you must have to meet the demand. If I say, no, I want to do storage, okay, this is where you need to set up your storage. If I say, no, I want to be a farmer, they're like, okay, you get, you, do you have your pen? Okay, get this kind of pen, get this kind of thing, get your fee here, get this here. We are willing to uptake. Why is it that painful? Because there is a national vision that people understand. So I can look at that policy and make a decision of where to plug in. Yes, I know somebody will say things like, why am I not talking about finance, security, and all of that, climate change and all. See, this is a reality. Climate change is happening in Nigeria, it's also happening in the UK. There is security issue in Nigeria, there is security issues abroad. The difference is they do not announce it as much as ours are broadcasted. A fortnight ago, somebody entered, I think, was he a mon or something, went on sporadic shooting. These people have the same issues that we have. We have financing issues here, where there are financing issues abroad. I follow a bit of the poultry market in the UK and even in the US. And I know that there are poultry sectors around the farmers' level are bleeding dry. Their truckers are bleeding dry. Where you have somebody drive a truck for 15 years in the name of higher purchase, and they are not even able to own the truck, and at the end they are owing the truck company at the end of the day. These issues are similar. But why is it that they have a better success rate compared to ours? The process is clear what we are trying to achieve. So I can look at that process and know where to plug in. But in Nigeria, I'm sure if you have anybody that has ever come to Nigeria wanting to farm, you are the one getting your land, getting everything. It's like you are building your own country from scratch.
So, wow. Yeah. Samson.
Yes, sir.
You just got into something I've been trying to let some people, some of my friends, to understand these things. You got into it looking at vision. That's okay. But have you ever read The Wealth of Nations?
Yes, I think I have. I can't remember. I don't want to spoil it. Okay. The book sounds very familiar.
Okay. See, The Wealth of Nations by, what's his name now? This Scottish, oh God. Well, the person who economics called the father of economics, okay? It was written in the 19th century. And it is the manual of every single capitalist country, The Wealth of Nations. And he itemized and discussed all these processes. See, this is what every developed country, that book is a manual of every developed country, every one of them, including China. Now, for the last 40 years, it has become the manual of China, at least the economic part of China, The Wealth of Nations. God, what's his name? I have two copies of it in my library. I'm looking at this as I talk to you. See, I encourage you to pick up the book. It's a voluminous book, okay? But you take your time and read it. That's where he discussed demand and supply. What's it called now? Division of labor. Okay, so that's the book. Is the first book in economics. Unfortunately, most African countries didn't get into the book early enough. Unfortunately, by the time we got independence, the Marxist philosophy was spreading all over the world. And that's what most African countries and the leaders of African countries who got our independence latched into. See, all these things you just talk about were itemized and detailed in the Wealth of Nations. Every one of them. Okay, so please pick it up and read it. It might take you some time, but read it. In fact, I decided last week that I would make a video talking about it. See, so what you just said is very, very true. Unfortunately, if you ask the members of our legislative body, I'll be surprised if 5% of them have ever read it. I'll be surprised. But if you come to a developed country, you find maybe 80% or more have read it and own it. You know? So this is the difference between us and them. Right? So I'm very happy that you get it, even though maybe you haven't read it, but you see it in what you do and you identify with it. So yeah, you know, so it's interesting. It's interesting. Now you talked about climate change. It's happening everywhere. Okay. And it seems that agriculture is a big contributor of climate change, especially animal husbandry. Okay, and then also agriculture is a big solution. Okay, do you want to talk about what you know about this?
Yeah, so like you rightly said, agriculture is a double-edged sword in that it is both the problem and the solution in itself. Mm-hmm. Now, like I always tell people, regardless of how much evil agriculture can do, will do, as long as we cannot download food from the internet, it means we need to understand how to use it effectively to achieve the goal of for which agriculture stands for. Mm. Now, having said that, yes, climate change, I mean, I think I did a video, an hour video or so a while back.
Oh, okay.
Where I discussed, because I know many times the problem when it comes to climate change is a lot of people see climate change as something happening here and not here.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, yes.
If it's not happening here, it means it has no impact on my life or in my life.
Mm.
And in that video, I tried to argue and show that climate change affects even your health, affects how much you have to pay on insurance, would affect your health, your rent, your mortgage, your finance, and all over time.
Yeah.
Now, but for the sake of this, to make it easy, I always tell people to look at it this way. If the climate is changing, it simply means what the farmer knew is becoming irrelevant.
Mm.
Now, if the farmer has to learn new things, he would have to learn it by one of two ways. Either he will learn it from a mistake, which means if there is a mistake, the food is either not enough or the food is not healthy. Either way, the consumer pays. Because if the food is not enough, then the consumer has to pay more for what is available.
Yeah.
Or if the food is not healthy, then you have to pay the extra to the doctor.
Mm.
Or the farmer has, so it's either the farmer learns by mistake or the farmer learns by going to be taught how to do it.
Okay.
Either way, it is costing the farmer money. And if it is costing the farmer's money, then it simply means that the consumer must be willing to pay extra for the same quantity because the farmer has paid more to get that knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, agriculture in itself is also the solution because whether we like it or not, there is climate change. Things are changing. Now, when you say there is climate change, people ask me questions like, does that not just mean the temperature is increasing? What then is the big deal? And I told them the big deal is because the temperature is increasing or going down slightly, what that means for the farmer is the pathogens will change.
Yeah, that's one. That's just one.
Will change.
Yeah.
Now, once the pathogens change, the soil organisms change, the planting period changes, I said, the farmer is like a child relearning how to walk.
Yeah.
Because these new pathogens that will come, this farmer has never dealt with them. I said, number three, when these pathogens are changing, unfortunately, these pathogens do not come with an announcement. So the farmer is first stuck with the old generation insecticide, fungicide, herbicide, until somebody is wondering why did I add herbicide? Because even the what's it called, the morphology of the grasses will change.
Now, yeah.
What that simply means is the research institute that sells those things have to go back to their table and start reworking out, okay, what is going to work, what is going to work. All of those trial and errors of them releasing products because the farmer needs product, all of those things that the farmer is paying for that is not working, is getting the environment in a worse condition and the consumer in a worse health state. Much more than that, you are spending more for a lesser quality but the same quantity. So, yes, agric is both the problem and the solution. Now, how then do we help agric? Like I always say, do things that are pro-environment in your own corner. Now, nobody is going to ever probably call you and give you an award for not burning your waste, for not doing something to the environment. But you know that at least you are not part of the problem the farmer has to deal with.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
now,
it does.
On the part of the farmer, like I always say, collect data. Because you see, when you collect data on the regular, you are able to know when things start changing.
Know
when things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can start figuring out with what can I do to adapt. Because you see, many a time, I know there is this slogan of, Africans like living things till it is late. Unfortunately, I think that mentality has become a world thing, not just Africa anymore. Why do I say that? Everybody is running to see how to mitigate. Before we get to the point of mitigating, what about adapting first? How can we adapt without making it worse before mitigating? Because mitigating is you, because to mitigate many a time is like you take yourself out of the situation and looking at how do we stop this. Before we start thinking of how to stop, or how to reverse, let's start with how not to make it continue.
Okay.
If we can all be pro-environment in our daily lives, it means that first and foremost, things are not getting worse. Then we can now from there start thinking of how do we reverse. I remember, was that 2020? A company in the US or UK said, they were trying to find a way to dim the sun by putting some aerosols above space. What do we do to stop this now? But at no point did they take time to think what would be the impact of dimming the sun, of covering the Earth's outer space with aerosol. So we must start from how do we first adapt? How do we first change our ways? What are the little things we can do before we then start going for the big thing?
Yeah.
I don't think that answers the question.
Yeah, of course it does. See, all of us, in our own little ways, have contributed to the state of climate change today, okay? And all of us can also contribute to the solution by adapting our everyday activity, okay? See, I don't know, I've asked this question several times from different people. I don't know how much our society in Africa, in Nigeria, talks about it. You see, in fact, I see a lot of opportunity. Let's say in Lagos alone. See, if there are companies who hand out waste food baskets to houses in Lagos and collect them. In fact, they can turn them into manure. You know, and it will be a very, very profitable business. I don't know if anybody is doing this. So there are things we can do as individuals, and there are so many different opportunities that will come up if we come together, think about things, and try to find solutions. I don't know if you agree.
Oh yes, I understand. But again, we have people doing that.
Okay.
But you see, they are doing that from the perspective of personal
businesses.
And one of the major issues still remains, if you do not know, because it's a business, if you do not know where to sell, then it is not sustainable.
Yeah, of course.
So it brings us back to the earlier discussion of having a national plan. So take for instance, I know for example a fact that in the Netherlands, if I want to go into waste management, I know where to get waste, I know where to recycle, I know where to send it to.
Yeah.
Because there are processes in place, I just need to plug in.
Yes.
But if I want to do waste management, that is, I know a company in Lagos is into that, and I know what it costs him to start up. I know what it is costing him to pick those beans from market, where you would have thought that, since the government knows what he's trying to do, we help the environment, that he could have set up the waste bin in a way that recyclable goes here, food waste goes here, so that he just needs to come, pick up, and goes away.
Yeah.
But instead, he had to do a lot of sensitization. Now, you realize that if not because he had deep pockets to do that, that alone would have been the end of the business. Sensitizing the market women. No, bring it does big, put her here. Help me put this one here. So I see carrier, I go call carrier, I go even pay you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing it in. But all of that is a lot. It's a lot. So having a national vision again, with processes that you don't need to meet people to understand it. You don't need to know people to plug in. Makes things easier.
Mm. Well, now, I would say, yes, we need a national vision, okay? But after the vision is expressed, okay, nationally, we need more of individual people plugging in different areas. Okay. It's not for the government to do the everyday things. The government have their own national vision. In fact, we see there's a dicey thing about big national programs. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you look at all the countries you've mentioned, yes, they have that centralized vision, but they leave it at that point. They don't tell every individual or company how to do their own work. See, what we have done in Africa is draw the program from the top and then feed it down. It doesn't work. Anyway, that's a different matter. That's an economics something for economics. Okay. So what's your advice for young Africans to do what you are doing in agriculture in their own space?
Sorry, I didn't get that, please. I didn't get your question.
Okay. My question is this. As a young African who is doing something fantastic in your own space, what's your advice for other Africans to also find their passion in their own space and go for it?
My advice would just be visual. Don't follow the whole, what's the word now? So-called timeline that people said, oh, you are 20, you should be here. You are 30 years, you should be here. You are 40 years, you should be here. No, bijou. Now, Okay. Why do I say bijou? It does not mean the world will not want to compare. But tell yourself, you know that you are doing the best you can where you are, that you are yourself. Mm. At some point, people will learn to accept you. The reason is, when you were born, you are not the one that gave yourself a name. People named you. People told you it was time to go to school. You started primary school. You started secondary school. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your school. You probably got a chance to, you wanted to probably choose a university, and the education system changed your university, changed your course. At what point will you start living for you? Because at the end of the day, you realize that most of the regrets you have is because you have lived off other people's expectation of you.
Oh, my God.
Other people's goals of you. Be you. Just be you. I think I was in the whole thing that said at the end of the day, whether you fail or you succeed, just know that you are yourself. You are not a shadow of somebody else. Be you. Now, when you are you, remember it is okay not to know the end. For those guys who are Christians, you will hear the statement that Abraham is the father of faith. And somewhere in the scripture, it says, God told Abraham, go to the land that I will show you. And the Bible says he left, he obeys. Now, if anybody meets Abraham and asks Abraham, where are you going to? The honest answer is, I don't know. Mm. So I know that there is the whole thing of have a vision, know the end, know where you are going. It is okay not to know. Just ensure that you are being yourself, you are doing the right thing, you are putting your hand to work. It is okay not to know what the next 10 years will be. This is the reality. While I was in school, if anybody came to me and said, you are going to be a farmer, I would probably cause that person to death. Like, Baba, which kind of rubbish talk is that? So be you. Be yourself. Just do the next right thing. Do the next thing you need to do. Now, I am not saying be busy, because at times when you tell people be you, put your hand to work, there is this interpretation of just be busy. No, don't just be busy. At times, you may have nothing doing. Enjoy the boredom. Enjoy having nothing to do. I'm not saying being lazy, because they sound like one and the same.
Mm.
I mean, even the scripture says, have Sunday to rest. What is rest? Have Sunday for boredom. Have one day in a week where you are bored. So, yes, there will be a time where there is nothing to do. Enjoy it. Be at peace with it, but find something, get something doing. If you are not sure what to do, get somebody to work for. Serve. In the place of serving others, you will get your own vision. In the place of serving others, you will see a gap that you can fill. You will see an opportunity that you can fill. But in doing all of this, be yourself. Don't try to act kind if you are not kind. Somewhere in the scripture it says be either cold or hot. He says if you are not cold or hot, I will spew you out, which means I will discard you. Interpretation. Even God is okay with whether you are cold or you are hot. What God is not okay with is whether is when you are neither cold or hot, when you are here or here. But if you are cold, you are fine. If you are hot, you are fine. So be you and you are good to go.
Wow. That That's a fantastic advice. See, I will add this to it. It's good for you, for everyone to take responsibility for ourselves. Okay. Yes, when we are young, our parents, our words told us what to do. But when you become an adult, you need to take responsibility. Okay. And you need to take ownership for everything you do. Okay. And I will add this. Once you are an adult, don't allow anyone to tell you what to do. Now, it doesn't mean don't take advice, no. But take the advice and sit down and ask yourself, okay, daddy says this, mommy says this, my big brother and big sister said this, so what do I want to do? And make the decision so that even though you have gathered information from different people, you are the one who made the decision. So it doesn't matter that somebody told you this, that you are responsible for what you eventually did. So that's my advice. Very good. Samson, so tell me.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what's your next move? What's the next thing that you are going to add in your in what you are doing? What's the next thing that those of us who are looking at
right now
what you're doing, what are we going to see?
Right now, what we are looking at, we are already working on having a safe space. We are working with a couple of partners, but the first thing you would see before that is we've been training farmers for a period of time now for free. In the next month or so, we are actually helping these farmers get funding in our name, and we want to set them up like a cluster because we want to prove that farming is profitable as a business if run right,
okay.
If the infrastructure is put in place. So we are working with 100 farmers. We will be training. We've already trained them. We'll be setting up their farms, and we will be watching their progress and holding them. And of course, we are buying off everything they are going to be producing.
Wow.
That way, before we pay them, we take a percentage of their payments to pay back the loan. So we want to show the banks that, yes, farmers can pay back loan if the farmers are taught business before giving them money.
Oh,
not just
God.
Giving them money and say, go and farm. Because the issue is not that they don't know how to farm. The issue is they don't know how to run a business. So we want to use the 100 farmers to show, see their books. It's not like we help them by giving them funds. See their books, see how the money came. This is how it was spent. And this is how they made the money back to pay. Now, how can we replicate this for 1,000 farmers or 10,000 farmers is up to you as a bank.
Wow. That's good. So mentorship is what, see, in every space, we need mentorship. See, Africa has a huge population that need products and need jobs. Okay. So in the farming space, you guys are starting a mentorship program. That's good. That is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are you guys seeing in those farmers that are on your program? How are they progressing?
No, they are doing well. The funding for them should be out by this week, next week. One of the things I did for all of them was first go and use your money to do something small, not commercial, something small. Test your knowledge and We selected from those who actually went ahead, did it. A few went commercial on their own.
Oh,
and
interesting.
They've been able to follow through because many times there is this whole thing of after electoral, and there is that other part of staying power. What happens when you've done everything right and yet it fails?
Yeah.
So some of them have gotten to that point and they are still there. So those are the people we are now bringing on board. We've gotten the funds. We got almost half a billion naira we are putting on them. Now, use this point. We are holding you. You are not working alone. So produce. We have the market. We will take off everything back from you.
Wow. See, it's very, very good that you ask them to do something by themselves and you pick those ones who actually do those things. Because like you said, if you just started funding farmers without first identify those who are committed, you will have a lot of failing farmers because they will take the funds and they will do what they do all the time. They will do nothing. So it's good to first identify those who are actually dedicated, committed to farming. That's good. That's very, very good. Wow. So Samson, so tell my audience what you see in 20, 30 years in farming. Where do you think farming is going in Africa? Where do you want it to go in 20, 30 years time?
That's always a hard one for me because I always tell people, when they ask, where do you see farming going? I ask, where do you see the farmers going? Because farming is dependent on the farmers. And I say, another way to look at that, when I ask, where do you see the farmers going, is where do you see the youth going? And the reality is the youth are walking out of agriculture. And what that simply means is, where I see farming going is, we have lands in Africa farmed by foreigners. That is what is going to be happening. And that is a sad place to stay, or a sad future to stay. And it simply means that because we are at a point where, I don't know which other way to put this in a subtle form, where you get Nigeria bank loans at 18-20% per annum, but a foreigner is getting a foreigner's bank, a foreign loan, at 3% per annum. So if a 3% per annum loan is coming into Nigeria with a foreigner, it simply means that at the end of the day, it's a matter of time before the farms become owned by the foreigners. And that is the sad reality of where we are going. And unfortunately, I know people would say, but something, you are doing what you are doing. A loan, so it's not a thing of you just need one man to change the story. The reality is you need a lot of people doing what I am doing to change the story. Because if we are few, the majority over time would have so much funds that they will buy us over. I mean, we'll spend Amazon buy over. I mean, if you check, for example, diapers.com. Diapers.com was one of the biggest diapers company at some point in the US. But as Amazon got bigger, they became so big that they were willing to run at a loss to run out diapers.com. And today, diapers.com belongs to Amazon. And there are many other
businesses like that
today that have sold their companies to Amazon. Exactly. Yeah. And the reality is, if as Africans we do not see where farming is going, then in 30 years, we will have farms in Africa owned by foreigners. It's that simple.
Well, I agree with your assessment, okay? But see, I don't really see the involvement of foreigners as a negative, okay? Because see, if you actually look in history at countries that have been developed a lot When I say a lot of foreigners help them develop. See, if you look at all the countries that have been developed, a major part of that development were done by foreigners. So I don't necessarily see the involvement of foreigners as a negative. Now, having said that, the only thing I always say is this. We as Africans need to raise our standards, the way we do things, the education we have, so that even though foreigners come into Africa with loans, cheaper loans, okay, so that we would not be second-class citizens. And we can do that by increasing our standards as human beings, as a community, our knowledge, so that as those foreigners come with their cheaper loans, set up businesses, set up companies, we as Africans will be the best employees of those companies, so that those companies will not have to come and go back home to bring the people who run the companies. That's what we don't want.
I get where you are coming from. So let me give you a simple example, Mr. Ekene. Let me give you a simple example. The U.S. has this loan facility for students. Sometimes last year, if I'm not wrong, I know Hassan Minhaj was in the Isaiah House of Representatives now to go defend why the loans are killing the economy. And you realize that the majority of the students who get student loans get to adulthood and even die without paying back the loans. Now, and the question I ask myself is, if a country like US giving their own citizen loans, and yes, the citizens are unable to finish paying back the loans even until death, where then is the issue? That is on one part. Number two is, I don't know of any major foreign company that is a firm in Nigeria. Now, the reason why it will not just happen easily is simple. Number one, so let's take a simple example. Let's say I am from one of the Asia countries. The technologies I have there that I want to bring into Nigeria, there is a high probability Nigerians have not even seen it. Is it with our curriculums that are backdated that we are being taught what is no longer relevant to today's economy? Is that where the student is going to learn what it would take to compete for such jobs of the 21st century? Because at times, like I always say, yes, I've had the privilege of having studied outside and inside, but I am also aware of the reality of there is a huge gap. I said earlier that we are taking farmers and retraining them. Why do I have to retrain farmers? I mean, some of these guys were already farmers. But the issue is the farming that they know is no longer relevant. Now, farming goes beyond throwing a seed in the ground, watering and waiting. Now, you realize that most farmers in Nigeria, what we practice is agricultural religion as opposed to agricultural science. Now, why do I say religion? We back up a lot of our activities with prayers because we do not have the science to back it up. Now, a man that is coming to invest $50 million, $100 million in your economy is obviously coming with all the relevant science that are relevant now. Now, this is the reality. You cannot use a 1960 science to get a result of 2022. It won't happen. Unfortunately, majority of our farmers are still practicing. Maybe I should put it this way for it to make sense. Let me put it this way for it to make sense. Majority of our farmers still uses hoes and cutlass. Hoes and cutlass existed at the time where the major mode of transportation was donkey, where the richest man had a horse and a cart. This was the era where the best barrel in town was a feather in the ink. This was the era where the best photographer had a picture that they would have to cover and turn their whatever winder to do clear. And if you are not careful, the thing can catch fire.
No,
this was the era where when you want to send a letter, it takes weeks. Yes, sir.
See, I agree. I agree with everything you are saying. Okay. See, I totally agree with those things. Okay. But see, if we want foreign investors and those foreign investors are coming in, we don't want to dissuade them from actually investing. See, that's why I say we need to raise our standards. See, you say you studied in Nigeria and then abroad. Yes, we need more young Africans who studied abroad to come back like you and implement the knowledge they gained from abroad. See, China, before it became what it is today, sent out millions of their citizens abroad to study. And then some of them came back. Okay, this is the way it works. Things work. See, for Japan to become what it is today, they had to go to the US. In fact, they brought a lot of US and UK experts to help them build their economy. And then they use the knowledge that the Americans and English, Scottish in particular in England, taught them to advance beyond the UK and even rivaled the US. South Korea today did the same thing. Okay? So we should not be afraid of foreign investors bringing technologies we don't really understand right now in Nigeria and in Africa, but we need to raise our standards. See, it will take us some time, but we need to do that.
I get that, Mr. Ken. I think I probably didn't explain myself well. I started by saying our youth are about going abroad. The mentality of the average Nigerian youth is not go abroad. Come back.
Yeah.
Is go and
stay.
And that is why I started on. Yes. And that's why when I started, I said the future of African farms is dependent on the future of the farmers. And the future of the farmers is dependent on the future of the youth. And
yes,
until there is a change in that mentality, and maybe that's the point I didn't explain properly.
Yeah.
Until there is a notion change of it is our job to build what we want.
Mm.
If that is not there expressly, then because right now when I said we are having an issue where foreigners are coming to buy our land,
yeah,
is because the Nigerians that are leaving have no plan of coming back.
Mm.
They just want to have maybe a farm, a shop, a company somewhere, but they are not really interested in coming back to it. And until we take ownership of the problem, we cannot lay hold on the solution.
I agree.
I hope that makes
sense. Oh, I agree. I agree.
That's the point I was trying to make. Yeah. I think I did not probably.
No. That's okay. So, what we're talking about is this. We need our government to make the laws that works for everyone. Okay. we need, see, if a young Nigerian know that, hey, I want to start a business, I can buy land, no harassment, okay, they will do it. Okay. Once they know I buy land, if I have any trouble after buying the land, okay, the government, the laws of the land will help me secure that land. Okay. So see, this topic will become a bigger question and answer. So let's just end this at this junction. See, Samson, you have been a great, great guest of the Think Big for Africa podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a happy holiday.
You too. So, bye-bye.
Listen or watch more episodes of Think Big for Africa podcast with new guests every week. Subscribe to ensure that you are notified whenever new episodes are available.